go. And the nursery is open. We do have nursery workers today. So if you have a youngster, we'd like to take them to the nursery. It's open. Please stand. As I read today's text, John 12, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And just follow it up on the screen or in your Bible, whatever feels comfortable for you. Verse 1, John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the hometown of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So they hosted a dinner for Jesus there. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of expensive perfume made of pure nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him, asked, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Judas did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to take from it what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "She was intended to keep this perfume to prepare for the day of my burial. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, and they came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, just come down upon us. Fill us fresh. Give us this fresh anointing, this fresh infilling. If there's any sins in our heart, Lord, forgive us. Help us to repent and help us to allow you to become God in our minds and through our hearts. We worship you by listening to your word and applying it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of today's sermon is "The Theology of Waste." As Christians, waste is something that just is not usually in our vocabulary. We tend to be a very hardworking, frugal group. Amen? That's who we are. That's what we're about. We're about being good stewards, about making every penny count, and being responsible. If we have debts, paying them off. If we are members of a church like we are, to provide the needs of the church through our giving, to provide for our families, to put away some money for unexpected emergencies. And many of us put money away for our retirement because we want to be good stewards. We don't want to have someone else to have take care of us when we are in our olden years, when we are in our less productive years. Right? That's who we are. We want to be frugal. We want to be responsible. This whole idea of what I believe, there is a time for extravagance. There is a time for waste. And that is what we're talking about today. Because if you think about this, this amount of perfume that she poured on his feet and rubbed it with her hair, it seems like such an event that many of us would have trouble with. Many of us, I would have trouble if someone brought something that's worth $50,000 and poured it out on the carpet. That would be a problem for me. A, I would probably be one of the people that have to clean it up. But also, the waste. It's like, boy, couldn't we have used that for a better purpose? But see, you've got to remember, in the layout of this story, she is the good guy, and the person that is advocating for responsible use of money is the bad guy. Because there is a time for extravagance. There is a time for waste. And we're going to look at the details of the story and to see what were the details of this. What was Jesus' stance on this act of worship that she did? What was Judas and what? Who was Judas and what was his response to this? And how should we as Christians deal with this? Because I know it seems outrageous that this would ever happen. But I want to tell you, in my 30-plus years of ministry, there has been time for extravagance. I was a part of a church before coming here where we raised almost $750,000 to add on to the building. Waste! That was the accusation when we started the project. What a waste! That money could have been used for so much better things. And so this whole idea of when is it appropriate? How is it appropriate? And what is the results of such a waste? Missions have been accused of being a waste. What a waste it is to equip a family with finances, with air travel, to go to a foreign land. I've heard this before in my years of ministry. Aren't there lost people here? Well, yes, but there is a time for waste. There is a time for extravagance. There is a time when we step out in faith and we do things that seems to be ridiculous and crazy. There are times to do that, and this was one of them. Let's look at the details of this passage. This happened just 5 days before the crucifixion. 5 days, how do you get that, Pastor? Look at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the hometown of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Jesus was crucified the day before Passover. He died on the cross about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and 6 p.m. is when Passover was to start. Passover was a high day. It was a floating Sabbath. It was a day of rest that happened on a calendar year, every year, the same day of a certain day of the month, and it was a Hebrew month called Nisan. And this is where we get all of our Easter celebrations in the spring. Jesus was crucified in the spring during the month of Nisan on the Jewish calendar, and that day was a Sabbath day every year, no matter what day of the week it showed up on. Something us Gentiles have trouble getting our minds around, because we assume that every Passover or every Sabbath has got to be Saturday. Not true. Passover was on a set day of the week, and it showed up on a different day every year because the calendar wouldn't be the same every year. It's like our Christmas is on December 25th. And so 6 days before Passover is when this event happened, which would have been 5 days before he was to be crucified. This event was held in the hometown of Lazarus and his sisters, verses 1 and 2. It says, so they hosted a dinner for Jesus there. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. This was a celebration. This was a celebration of Jesus Christ, who had raised Lazarus from the dead. An event that shook that part of the world because it was unusual, it was uncommon, and it still would be today for someone to be raised from the dead after being dead for 4 days, four 24-hour periods. He was in the grave. They had a lot to be thankful for. And here they are throwing a party for Jesus Christ. See? You see a little bit of the extravagance already, don't you? A party? You're going to waste money on food and drink to host an event? What? Why? It's out of gratitude. It showed the family of Lazarus were giving back to Jesus Christ, saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for what you've done in us." Yes, that money for the party could have been used for other things. But there was a time to party. And that's something with us as a church. I love our get-togethers. Our get-together we had last week where we had our chili cook-off. It was quite a feast. I think every family took a lot of chili home. We probably had enough to feed a couple hundred people. And we didn't have that many. But it still was a good time of celebration, of getting together. And again, it was for a ministry to reach out to our college students, to let them know that we love them and that they value to us. There is a time for this. There's a time for parties. There's a time for celebration. And that's what this was. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume. Verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of expensive perfume made of pure nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Nard was a plant. It's spikenard. It's a plant. And they cooked this down, this plant, and extracted this oil from it. If any of you are essential oil people, you can buy nard. And nard, it's a very aromatic perfume. When you inhale it, it helps in your circulation. There's many things that it helps you with in just inhaling it. But also, it's very aromatic and it's relaxing, the smell that comes from this. And it was real expensive because they had to travel to other countries to get this plant. It was very costly, very expensive. And here she is dumping it on the ground at his feet and wiping it with her hair. Expensive perfume. I like I said earlier, I've been a part of wastes before. And when it comes time for this, it's so important that A, Jesus be the center of it. And I believe with all our ministries, it's so important that everything we do be with this sentence in mind. We are doing this event in order that, and it's got to be maybe not the first sentence, but three or four sentences down the line, in order for Christ to be praised. Now, it can go like this. Let's do our waste that we did last week when we had 12 pots of chili for what? 20 people, I believe. 20, 30 people. It was an event that we held in order that we may bless the college students of Manchester University and the high school students that are connected in our church, in order that they may know that the love that we have for them in Jesus Christ, in order that they will build a relationship with us as God's people, that they will see that we care about them and that there's something different about us than people, normal people in the world, in order that they will come to a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you see where I'm going? Everything we do when we are extravagant and we spend money, it's got to be traced back to those in order that Christ may be praised. Amen? And everything we do, we've got to think through it. What is our purpose in spending money? because we receive tithes, we receive offerings every week. It can't be where it stops with us. Let's use this building for example. We take up tithes and offerings in order that we can pay our bills here at the church. It can't stop there. It's got to be in order that we will have a facility that we can use for ministry. In order that we will have a platform in our community to preach Jesus Christ. In order that people will come to a life-saving relationship through Jesus Christ. Do you see what I mean? It can't just stop with the Christian's comfort so I can have a place to worship God. It can't stop there. Something that John was talking about earlier, and we were talking in our Sunday school class, is that we are in a season of Thanksgiving here in America. A season that honestly gets mowed over by Christmas. And it's so important that we have a heart of thanksgiving so that people will come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are not on the throne. It's not about us. It's about Him. And all of our expenses has got to be traced back to Him. Otherwise, we're just worshiping ourselves. Let's take another in order of that. We sing songs here on Sunday morning in order that I will sing songs I like to hear. Is that a legitimate in order that? No. That is a bad waste. It's a bad waste of time. It's a bad waste of resources, because it's not about me, right? It's got to go this way. We sing songs on Sunday morning in order that Jesus Christ will be praised. In order that those that are here will be healed, will be lifted up to see that there is a God on the throne, and it's about Him. What does God get out of the singing of our songs? And it's got to go back in order that He may be praised, not in order that I will get the songs that I like to hear. Because when you end it that way, it's all about you. It's all about me. It's got to be in order that He will be praised through our corporate lips singing praise to Him. Something that I like about there's a movement to take all of our songs and to change the words. Instead of worshiping or singing songs about God, but to sing songs directly to God. To change the pronouns. Instead of He is high and lifted up, you change it to Lord, You are high and lifted up. Because again, it's so easy for me to get into a rut where I'm singing songs that I know and that brings warm, fuzzy feelings to me. But again, in my heart, I'm not worshiping Him. Amen? It's got to be about Him. With all of our extravagances, with all of our activity, it's got to be so that He may be lifted up and praised. Something that I want to encourage you is that we are trying to do a blended service here where we do songs all across the board. Some Sundays we sing only hymns. Some Sundays we sing only choruses. When it comes to a song that you don't particularly care about, you've got to ask yourself, why am I singing this song? Am I singing it so that I will be encouraged? So that I will be made happy and full of joy? If that's your in order that, I would encourage you, don't sing. But if you can take it another step, that I sing in our corporate worship so that my God may be praised, then does it really matter what song we're singing? Does it matter what style we're singing? Because if God is on our throne of our hearts and we're worshiping Him, even with songs we don't particularly care about the melody or we don't care about the layout of the song, but it talks about worshiping our living God, isn't that what it's all about? Amen? It's not about us. It's about Him. And like I said, we have to ask everything we do, whether it's routine or extravagant, what does God get out of this? And if I'm sitting here like this, I don't like that hymn. I don't like that song. What am I doing? Who's on the throne? Who is it all about? And it's so important that everything we do has got to be in order that He may be praised, He may be lifted up, that all people will come to know Him. Judas protested this as a waste. Look at verses 4 and 5. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray Jesus. Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? You realize that the amount that this perfume was worth more than the 30 pieces of silver that he got for selling out Jesus Christ? When we respond to waste, and our response is always from our flesh, we're going to find ourselves selling out our Lord for a lot less than He's worth. And that's where Judas was. He was about to sell Him out for 30 silver coins. And he's making a big deal out of her pouring the nard on his feet. See, there's a heart issue at work. With extravagance, the theology of extravagance, it comes down to our heart. What is our motivation? Why are we so upset at this? Why is this activity or this waste really bugging us? With Judas, it wasn't about her worship of Jesus Christ. It wasn't about her gratitude of Jesus Christ. It was about, hey, I think I can dip into the purse if this got sold and I would benefit. It was about Him. And that's why he was so upset. I can't judge your hearts. You can't judge my heart. You can judge my actions. My actions should be judged. But we can't judge each other's hearts. But we can examine our own. Examine your heart. Look at the things that bug you the most. The things that are bothering you, can you trace it back to they're not worshiping Jesus Christ with what's bothering you? If you can't trace what's bothering you back to, well, Jesus isn't being lifted up, whatever it is, then it is about you. It's about my feelings. It's about my being hurt. It's about me being offended. It's about me being disrespected. I want to encourage you to look at the things that bother you and to examine it, your own heart. Is this about you, or is Christ being shamed? Is Christ not being preached? Because I've noticed in my own life a lot of times in this waste area, I get more upset that Ken is disrespected than I do that Jesus Christ is not being preached. And I should not be that way. Jesus defended her. Verse 7, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "She was intended to keep this perfume to prepare for the day of my burial." 5 days from this, Jesus is going to be crucified. This was significant. And it was out of a heart of gratitude that her brother was brought back to life. It was out of a heart of gratitude that their lives were so changed because of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's the least she could do. Jesus defended her. Next, Jesus made a strong declaration about the poor and about himself. The poor, in verse 8, the poor will always have, you will always have them with you, but you will not always have me. This is, again, why I encourage us to have all of our ministry, even benevolence ones, where we're doing things not just to give people free stuff, but we're given it so that we can establish a relationship with them, so that they can see who we are, so that they can see who our Lord is, that they will someday have Him as their Lord and Savior. Do you see what I mean? It's got to have those in order, that, and not just stop with so that they will have food in their bellies. That kind of ministry is so hollow. And in my years of ministry, I've noticed that most of the Christian ministries are what I call free candy bar ministries. You're handing out free stuff. See, let's imagine we're going to do a ministry. Every person in the town of Manchester gets a free candy bar. So we're going to pool our monies together. We're going to give extravagantly, and we're going to save up money, and we're going to go purchase at the after Halloween sales, and we're going to get inexpensive candy so that we can give every single person in Manchester a candy bar. Sounds good. But if it stops with them having a treat, it's hollow, and there's nothing about Christ in it. It's so important that we go steps farther, and we go that extra step of getting to know them that we're making the ministry to, that we have a relationship with them, and that we invite them to go on a journey to have the same relationship that we have with God in their life. It's got to go steps farther. Christians, it's so easy for us to stop on that level and not to go deeper into relationships, but it's dirty. It's dirty when you start getting into people's lives, because you get into sin patterns. You get into bad mistakes that they've made. You get into addictive patterns in their life. And it becomes messy when you start helping people to move into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, even to the point that though we've given them free stuff, they may point the finger back at us because we're starting to meddle. People like free stuff. They don't necessarily want to worship the living God. And it gets messy. It gets dirty. But see, that's where we need to get on our hands and knees before God and saying, Lord, it's about you. It's not about me and being persecuted. If I'm killed for this act of benevolence because I'm taking them to the cross through our good works, Lord, let it be, because it's not about me. Free candy bar ministries are so neat and clean. It's got to go deeper. And you've got to be willing to actually get to know those people, to be vulnerable to persecution by them, in order for them to see that you are different, and to come to worship the living God because of you. Amen? Amen? The poor will always be with us, but the opportunity to preach Christ will not always be here. We have a time in our lives where there is a freedom of religion in our country. And it's so important that we use it now while we have it. Jesus, then a large crowd gathered because of Jesus and because of Lazarus was there. We see that in verse 9. And then finally, the chief priests decided to add Lazarus to their kill list. verses 10 and 11. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. So what was the purpose of the party? The party that they held, it was to lift up Christ. What was the purpose of her pouring out the perfume on his feet? So that Christ may be exalted, so that he may be lifted up. And the results was revival was starting to break out among the Jews because they had the in order that's in order. It wasn't just about, let's throw a party because we like parties. Let's pour out this perfume because we like the smell of the perfume in the room. They had their in order that people will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was working. Why is this truth that we talked about so important? This shows us that our view on death, what our view on death should be. Shortly before this, there was a scene of great sorrow, but now there is a celebration. Sorrow is to come. In this season of thanksgiving, I would encourage you to praise God for your health. Praise God for your health. Praise God for your life. And don't feel like you have to throw every penny possible to get another life, a minute of life here. This life that you and I have is just such a drop in the bucket to eternity. It's not about this life. This life is such a small blip. The perspective that Jesus Christ extended beyond even this life is so important that you and I have. So much of our healthcare dollars is spent, the millions, the billions of dollars that are spent by our government to help people to live longer. At the core of that is a fear of death. And having this life exaggerated higher than what it should be. Eternity is what matters. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because moth and rust will not destroy them and thieves cannot take away what you've invested in eternity. And yet, we as an Americans, we pump so much into making us look better through cosmetics, to make us smell better, to make us live healthier and to live longer, that it seems that there is a unhealthy bent towards this life when eternity matters so much more. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up into this world's obsession with living one more day longer. Sacrifice that. Be willing to even sacrifice it if it costs you your life today because of your stance on Jesus Christ. I think it was Elizabeth Elliot that wrote of her husband who died as a martyr that it's so much more important to give up the things, temporary things of this world, for the eternal things that no one can take away from you. Are you storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Or is so much of your investment here and now? That's a proper view of death and life. Next, there is a time for extravagance. The times that I've been a part of where churches have built things, have done projects where we all come together on. The beautiful thing that I've seen, and you know me, I don't like preaching on money. I don't like talking about money because that's not what I'm about. But when a church comes together for a common cause, there's such good residual that comes from it. when we all pull together and say, I will sacrifice for this, in order that we will be able to expand our outreach, in order that we may reach people that aren't religious, that don't follow Christ, that they may come into a saving relationship with Christ. Sometimes it starts as simple as building a building, as doing a facility upgrade. And it seems extravagant at the time, but it helps the body so much. When in that $750,000 project that I did at the church before, we built like a multi-use facility, like we already have with our gym area, with our fellowship hall. Before that, the church was kind of stagnant. They were kind of caught in a rut. But that helped us to jump to a different place, a more healthier place. And the people overall, the giving was up. The attendance came up. The outreach got a boost, not just because of a building, but because of us coming together and saying, we are going to throw a party for God and we are going to celebrate Him doing something in our midst. We need those projects. We will die as a church if we don't take on extravagant, wasteful projects. Well, couldn't that money go to the poor? Yes, but I want to tell you that money won't exist if we don't step out in faith and do things along the line that stretches us. It won't be there. There's something about extravagance that leads to growth. There's something about an excessiveness where we are pouring out in an excessive worship to Him, where we come together for something. Well, it would be nice if we would come together to fully support a missionary, like the missionaries that we had last week. See, one of the criticisms I've heard in the past is, why are we wasting so much money sending missionaries overseas when there's so many lost people here? Well, we have an opportunity to reach lost people here. Are we supporting them? See, my experience is that the churches, in order to expand their giving, to really reach out to the lost, there needs to have some kind of a common coming together project first. It really does help. It does help that when we come together, when the vision is cast and people receive that vision and they start to give extravagantly, that doesn't just stop with that project. It goes on. It becomes other things. It becomes supporting missions. It becomes supporting outreach opportunities. It becomes hiring more staff to do more work. All kinds of good things come when people have projects where they come together, even if it's extravagant. And it ends up giving more money to the poor. It ends up giving more money to missions. Do you see what I mean? The tent gets bigger. Your capacity for faith gets bigger. And it's so important. I'm not proposing any projects today. If you're waiting for my sales pitch, therefore, I want you to reach into your wallet and pull out the biggest bill. Let's build a golden building, solid gold to God. That's not what I'm saying. I have no projects in mind. But what I'm saying is that churches need those in order to keep their vitality intact, and also to continue to reach out to the poor, to the lost. You need projects like this that seem extravagant at the time. But it's not about the project. It's about our heart and our giving to God. And that's where she was. It's important that each of us ask God for a pure heart and give unto Him. When I was part of the group that were saying, I used to be a part of it, we should never build extravagant buildings. We should never have to hire new staff because the lay body should do it all. When I was a part of that group, what I noticed in my own heart, that a lot of it came down, just as just my opinion of me, because I can take out my heart and I can examine my heart. I can't do that to yours. But for me, it was at the core of it, I didn't want to have to give the extra money. That's exactly where Judas was. It was about him. And extravagant projects for churches to come together to do helps to expand my heart to be a heart that's more giving, that's more open to what God wants to do. This extravagance, this waste, there's a time for it. We will never solve the poverty problem. Never. Jesus said the poor will always be with you. Think of the trillions of dollars that our government has poured into the war on poverty. And is poverty better now? No. If anything, we have more poor than we ever have. There's whole cities where there's tent cities popping up all over our extravagantly rich country where poor are living in tents, sleeping in their own feces at night. The poor problem is getting worse, and it seems to be the more money we throw at it, the worse it gets. Money is not the solution to the poverty problem. I think Jesus is the solution to the poverty problem. I think worship of Him, because I've noticed in my own life, the more I worship Him, the more my needs get met. And I want that for everybody. Amen? I want that for the poor person living in squalor. I want that for the poor person with mental illness having to live with rats and with disease. I want them to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who has promised to meet all their needs according to His glorious riches. Because when they're trusting in Him, He promises to take care of them. And again, the poverty problem will always be with you. Never. Preaching the gospel has still got to be the top priority with us, even in benevolence ministries. Giving out free stuff is never the solution. It's got to be a stepping stone to the path of them having a saving relationship with their Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we must all learn to tell our stories. See, this whole thing came about because of Lazarus and his story. He had a story to tell. The party was an avenue to tell his story. People come and see the man who was raised from the dead, and he's going to share his journey to hell and back, literally. Hell in the sense of the grave. To the grave and back. He came to share his story of going into the grave and then coming back to life at the shout of Jesus Christ, Lazarus, come out. What a story. You and I have a story to tell. But it may cost you to learn to share your story. It may cost you the risk of embarrassment. Pastor, I don't really want people to know where I came from. Pastor, I think people will judge me if they hear about the things I've done and what God has done in me. Do you see the theme in this message? When your response is, I don't want people to criticize me, I don't want people to ridicule me, I don't want to be vulnerable, who is the story about? It's about me. And the theme of this is not about me. It's about what does God get out of this. And so learn to share your stories. I like to simplify my story into four parts. And it's the four parts that the Bible is told in. Creation. Where did you come from? Who were your brothers and sisters growing up? Fall. The fall of mankind is in the book of Genesis. When did you start to realize that you were fallen? in your story, in your life? When did you start to realize you had a hole for God in your life and it wasn't being met with all the other stuff? When did you start to realize that? Your redemption. When did you receive Jesus Christ? Up until your baptism, when you were baptized as a believer into Jesus Christ. If you've never been baptized, if you've never had this redemption story, come to me or one of the leaders in the church and we'll help you on that journey of having a redemption story. And restoration is the last part. What has God been doing in you since your salvation, since your baptism? And again, if all you have is you were baptized as an infant, I want to tell you that you're missing out on big chunks of your story. Come to me. Talk to me. Receive Jesus Christ. Get baptized. And you'll start getting the restoration stories. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. We all have to learn to share our stories. Even if we get persecuted, even if it possibly our life gets taken. Because it's not about me. Amen? Father God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this simple story of a woman worshiping you with extravagance. May our lives be one of extravagance when it comes to you. May we have a heart to give. May we have a pure heart before you where it's not all about me. It's about you and what you get out of this. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,